Have you noticed how amazing these handbells are? Wow. Thank you, handbell exaltation ringers. Our scripture this morning is from Luke chapter 1. Verse 39 through 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. I have a number of slides, thanks to particularly John Webster. Would you bring up the first one? This one actually is one that you shared with us, Bob Weston, and then John has picked up on. It's Palestine and Israel. And you see sort of where we've been so far on this journey. And one of the neat things to remember is that there are these historical locations, geographical locations. God actually became a human being here and walked on this earth in time, in history. That's hugely important. It's critically important. And there are places. Nazareth is where, as you remember, Mary grew up. It's where the angel Gabriel came to Mary. And last week, David shared with you about Joseph, whose hometown is Bethlehem, not far from Jerusalem, maybe a six-hour walk, maybe 6 miles. I'm not sure how far. Now, today we're going to enter En Kerem. En means spring. Kerem means vineyard. And it's about a two-hour walk from Jerusalem and maybe about that from Bethlehem. And that's where John the Baptist was born, and it's where his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, lived. So you have a sense of the history there and the connection. So this text just shared with us that Mary made the 9-day journey from Nazareth down to En Kerem. That's about 80 miles. Let's look at the next slide. That's a panoramic view of En Kerem. And the next one are some grapes, because, as I say, En Kerem means spring of the vineyard. And Israel was often known as the vineyard of God. Just a few more pictures we'll show you. This is the Church of the Visitation. That is to say, celebrating perhaps the location of where Elizabeth and Mary, or Mary met Elizabeth. Then the next, another view of that, more of the inner courtyard. And then, I believe, inside the church, a picture of Mary and arriving and being a part of this visitation with her cousin, older cousin, Elizabeth. And then this is the church of John the Baptist, believed to be built over the home or where John the Baptist was born. As you remember, Zechariah and Elizabeth were older in years, announced that they were going to have a baby, and so John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin, and as you know, later prepared the way. But this is the historic sense of where John the Baptist was born in En Kerem, and then the final picture inside the church of John the Baptist. So, gives you a little bit of perspective. You remember when Gabriel came to Mary in Nazareth and announced that she would be with child and that she would call his name Jesus, Gabriel also mentioned Mary's cousin Elizabeth, that she too would be with child, even though she was quite old. And I've wondered about that, and I think Gabriel mentioned Elizabeth for three possible reasons, to assure her. Both are miracles. Both miracles. Mary, what you're going to experience is a miracle, but you're not alone. God is doing this sort of thing. Your cousin, Elizabeth, is going to have a child, so you're not alone. Well, that was my second point, is you're not alone. The third is, maybe you could read between the lines, and maybe Gabriel was saying, well, why don't you go check out, be with her, be with Elizabeth. A, she needs your help, she's in her sixth month, and B, she will understand what you're feeling. She will understand what you're feeling. Because you can imagine Mary not sure what to do with all that's happening. So Mary probably explained to her parents, you can fill in the lines here, that she had learned about Elizabeth's pregnancy and wanted to go and help with the last few months of her pregnancy. That was pretty common in those days, or still today, to come and help with the latter part of the pregnancy. Do you think Mary told her parents about her own pregnancy? I don't know. The way we answer this might be tell more about ourselves than Mary, but I doubt that she did at this point. I doubt that she did at this point. Because, A, I don't know that she was sure yet that what she had been told, was I just dreaming? Was I making this up? At least my conversations with God take me a while to get really settled on. So I'm just speculating. And I think she had to have time to process it. But she must have felt close enough to her older cousin Elizabeth. Probably they met at family gatherings. Probably they met at Passover gatherings. And Gabriel's words were ringing in her ears. And so she went to see her, this 9 days journey. Elizabeth was older. She was married to this priest named Zechariah. They were up in years, and they were now preparing to have a child whose name would be John. Often people who aren't able to have children are doting aunts and uncles and cousins on their nieces, nephews, and cousins. My oldest brother and his wife were never able to have children, but they dote on all of the other children in the area. And maybe Elizabeth was like that, and she had this strong connection with Mary from the time Mary was little. For whatever reason, Mary felt pretty close to Elizabeth, and they had that great close relationship. So after 9 days of traveling, Mary arrives and greets Elizabeth. And here's how Luke tells it. You recall from the scripture. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So upon Mary's greeting, the child, John, within Elizabeth's body, jumped, was a witness to Jesus, even before he was born. Now the title of the sermon is, All of Us Need an Elizabeth. Every one of us needs an Elizabeth. We can imagine how wonderful Elizabeth's response to Mary made Mary feel. Mary, who for the past 9 days, put yourself in her place, traveling, going through some really rough terrain, wondering, worrying, what's going on? Did I hear correctly? How can this be? What will Joseph think of me? What will Joseph do? What will my parents think? What will my parents do? Here she was alone with this massive secret. Before she could even tell Elizabeth, Elizabeth affirms Mary. Affirms what Mary isn't even sure she yet understands. Elizabeth knows that what Gabriel said is true. And little John, even not yet born, leaps bearing witness to the one whom he would point to all the rest of his life. Elizabeth goes on to say, "Listen, my child, you don't have to be afraid. You've been blessed. Blessed to be the mother of the Messiah." Elizabeth said, "Just as my pregnancy is a miracle, even more so is yours." You can imagine how that encounter with Elizabeth made Mary feel so accepted, so loved, so beloved. Now imagine for a moment if Elizabeth's greeting had been different. I want you to think about, how do you greet people that come to your home or out on the street? What if Elizabeth said, "Oh gosh, what are you doing here? Oh, it's you again. What kind of a mess have you gotten yourself into?" Man, that would be tragic, wouldn't it? What's wrong? I mean, think about this. These are real human beings. What if Elizabeth's greeting had been off-putting? How do you greet people? Elizabeth, the importance of our greetings, the importance of our affirmation. Now here's the key. This is maybe the key point. Elizabeth allowed herself to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth allowed herself to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which allowed her to see and understand and realize the mystery, the truth about Mary. The Holy Spirit, I mean, the text says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings us into all truth. The Holy Spirit helped Elizabeth perceive what nobody else had perceived or could perceive except the Holy Spirit within us. So the most important thing you and I can do is to allow ourselves, invite the Holy Spirit to be within us, to give us eyes to see and ears to hear, depth of perception. Because beneath the surface of everybody we meet, there's something else going on. Isn't that true? Beneath the surface of everybody we meet, there's something else going on. What would happen for us if before every encounter we asked God to fill us with the Holy Spirit so we could sense and feel and perceive beneath the surface. It was Elizabeth's greeting, her affirmation, that enabled Mary finally to fully accept what God was doing. It was only after Elizabeth's greeting that Mary broke into song. It was only after Elizabeth's greeting that Mary was able to sing the Magnificat. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Are you like that? I suppose most of us are like that. We can only finally and fully embrace something profoundly true when it's been affirmed by somebody else. Now, there are a few of us in our midst who are so self-contained, so whatever, that they don't need anybody else's affirmation, even in the face of miracle. But most of us affirm our faith when we voice it in a smaller group, a Sunday school class. Most of us value the affirmation of another person. And I believe this is emblematic of how relationships often happen. I'm worrying about, do you think, what's going on? I had this nudge. Do you think it's from God? The importance of the community of faith. In the two Bible studies I lead, one of the joys is hearing from each other's perspective and in that mix, discerning the will and word and spirit of God. It's a sacred task, a sacred gift to be there for others and with others listening. I'm so grateful for the Stephen ministries of this church, spiritual directors, Jim Cook, Linwood Walters, and others, for deep friends for the body of Christ. This is all speculation, what I'm going to say next, but I think it's got some grounding. I bet I know something else Elizabeth did for Mary. Just picture your strongest aunt you know. I imagine Joseph came over from Bethlehem while his fiance was in Ein Kerem. I believe that's when Mary told Joseph that she was pregnant. And I believe either Elizabeth was there for that conversation or she was soon near Joseph afterwards. And I believe, can't you just picture Elizabeth? Now listen to me, Joseph. What Mary told you is absolutely true. Now don't get on your high horse. She's telling you the truth. When she came to greet me, the baby within me leapt in my womb. And I know she is carrying the Son of God. So, Joseph, God did a miracle for Zechariah and me at our age. God could do it for Mary, and He did do it for Mary. So pull yourself together. You have the opportunity to be a daddy for God. Now, don't blow it. Don't you think that's kind of what happened? Now, we read that Joseph had a dream, and I believe he had a dream. But I think that maybe Elizabeth helped prepare the way for this dream that confirmed what happened. At least, if their family is anything like my extended family, there's a lot of human intervention in the process. It doesn't say this in Scripture, but I think there's a good chance. The relationship between Mary and Elizabeth is huge. It's a model for all of us. You and I each need an Elizabeth, and you and I each need a Mary. Who is your Elizabeth? Who is your Mary? In college, there was a professor who was across the street at the seminary named Bob Lyon. He watched me play basketball, and he became a friend of mine. He was my Elizabeth. He cheered me on. He encouraged me to go to Germany and study. He encouraged me to do doctoral studies. He preached in my church. Bob was that. Yesterday I got a call about Doug Hazen's wife, Marge, not doing well. Doug Hazen, for the first 10 years of my ministry here, invited me to meet him every Wednesday for lunch, just to see how things are going. I've been blessed by some wonderful Elizabeths. I have the joy now of being an Elizabeth. I'm honored to be a mentor, Elizabeth, for Ted, my friend, who's coming through seminary. I'll be eager to see Drew Weisman when he comes home this week from exams from Duke, and we'll be here for the funeral for his grandmother. And on, the MOPS ministry, Sunday school. By the way, we need some Sunday school teachers for four-year-olds at 9:40, fifth graders. Thank God for all of you who have been and will be Sunday school teachers. Here at Trinity, we want this Elizabeth-Mary relationship built into our DNA. And so we're very intentional when we put committees together to make sure the age span and the experience span is different, and that there are young people and older people on each one, so that DNA, which is uniquely Trinity, can be passed on from generation to generation. When we were in Haiti, and I'll tell you more about that another time, but there's this young woman named Liza Case who has two children. She's gone twice a year for the last 4 years to Haiti. And as I've shared with some of you, you wonder as you get older if a new generation will rise up at Trinity to do the things that have been done. And let me just say to you, it's happening. This young woman was telling Frank Moses and me exactly what to do, when to do it, where to do it, how to do it. I felt so at home at Trinity. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding you. I just admire her passion. And she knows the names of all these 36 kids. She could stay there for weeks on end. So it's going on. It's going on. But my question to you today, who is your Elizabeth? Who is your Mary? How do you greet people? May we all often invite the Holy Spirit into our lives before we blunder forth in our relationships with others. Would you pray with me? Oh God, I thank you for the Scripture and for the joy of sort of reading between the lines, envisioning Elizabeth talking to Joseph. Oh, what a tremendous role Elizabeth played in Mary's life, helping confirm to her that what was happening was indeed the very hand of God. Thank you for the privileges that we have in the body of Christ to be there for somebody else and for somebody else to be there for us. What a joy it is. So this morning, O God, we open our hearts to You. We acknowledge, as we think of the body and blood of Christ, the elements of Holy Communion, we ask Your blessings upon them as we prepare to receive. We acknowledge our own shortcomings and failings, our own sins, and we ask Your forgiveness. And we make our confession before You. And believing that as we receive You, Your Spirit, Your elements, You'll give us strength to lead a new life through the power of Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.